This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us. 6 months ago today, on September 20th, Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. Things are slowly getting better in Puerto Rico, but with businesses and infrastructure devastated, 135,000 Puerto Ricans have left the island, according to CBS News, many of them with no firm plans to return. And a lot of them have arrived on the mainland with no real place to go. Well, back in October, FEMA started offering temporary shelter benefits for people displaced by the storm. That shelter for thousands of evacuees took the form of a hotel room somewhere in the United States. But 6 months later, 3,500 Puerto Ricans are still living in hotels and motels under what's called the Transitional Sheltering Assistance Program. Today was supposed to be the deadline cutting off those hotel vouchers, but on Monday, FEMA extended the program until mid-May. Willides Bermudez knows firsthand the toll this process has taken on both families and the cities that have welcomed them on the mainland. Bermudez is a member of the city council in Hartford, Connecticut, and she joins me now. Willides, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Marcela Garcia is also here, an editorial writer for the Boston Globe. Marcela, thanks for being here as well.
Hi, Todd.
Councilwoman Bermudez, let me start with you. How many families remain in hotels in Hartford now, and how did Hartford get involved in accepting them?
Yeah, so in Hartford, we have 20 families right now that remain in hotels. The way that we got involved in getting the families here in the first place, there's two routes. Connecticut is one of the places with one of the largest in the New England area, the largest Puerto Rican population. And by virtue of having family here, friends, loved ones in Hartford, in places like Hartford and other cities, the families started arriving shortly after Hurricane Maria. But also the second route of how families from Puerto Rico ended up here, in particular in the hotels, is that FEMA paid for their plane tickets and for the hotel stays, participating hotels called, you know, those families who receive the TSA vouchers. And that's how Hartford got these families.
Well, let's give a listen now, because the Hartford Current has been doing some reporting there in their hometown and went down to a Red Roof Inn in Hartford that has several families from Puerto Rico. Here's Brian Rivera, who moved into that Red Roof Inn in Hartford back in December with his family of four.
I got here 2 days ago. It's been really, really hard. We are staying in only one room, one bed, all four of us. The only thing that I just want to do is for my kids have something where they can stay and have a nice place for them. That's all.
Councilwoman Bermudez, you can hear the resignation in Brian's voice there. You can hear his young baby in the background as well. What are conditions like? What have you seen when you visited the Red Roof Inn and other hotels around town?
It's really challenging for the families who are staying in the hotels. These are families who, again, the plane tickets were purchased by FEMA in many cases. They have been staying in these hotels. At any moment, their hotel stay could be removed from them. And so at any moment, they will be displaced again. And so for them, it's been so challenging not knowing if they are going to be able to get that additional extension. And this is really day to day. So day to day, they wake up in the morning. You know, there's one family in particular who they were bringing their kids to school because, you know, a lot of these families have children. And they came back to the hotel and they said, oh, sorry, you now have to leave. And they're saying, what do you mean I have to leave? I just got back from bringing my kids to school. And so they said, oh, no, there's problems. FEMA said that you can't stay here anymore. Long story short, we got in contact with Senator Blumenthal's office. And after many phone calls and in several hours, they found out that it was a clerical error. That's one case in particular, but there's other families who've been in this state of agony, not knowing what's going to happen next. Now, mind you, they're living in hotels with small children. Some of these children, and Brian's story in particular, he has a one-year-old. He has two little babies, and there's no room. There is no access to a kitchen. There is no area for the children to play. They're in a hotel. The lobby area does not suffice as a playground.
Marcela Garcia of the Boston Globe, you've also spoken with families in your state of Massachusetts, which has a large number of Puerto Rican evacuees as well. How do conditions compare in Massachusetts, similar to what the councilwoman is describing in Hartford?
Absolutely. It's pretty much the same challenges here in Massachusetts. among the number of families who were receiving the TSA program, the housing voucher assistance, Massachusetts was number two or number three in the country. Currently, there are about between 500 and 600 families receiving this benefit. And just like the councilwoman said, here it's families that don't have access to a kitchen in a hotel, families that have to figure out how to get their kids to school when they have no transportation. So it's pretty much the same. To me, the most heartbreaking thing that I saw was that in Holyoke, this is in Western Massachusetts, this is a city, there were families there that were arriving in large numbers. And, you know, I spoke to people who actually were going hungry because, again, that not having access to a kitchen in a hotel is something that, you know, we don't really think of, you know, being a big deal. But for these families, that means that they have to, you know, find ways to cook their own meals or buy their own meals, which obviously makes it more expensive and more challenging. So I heard from a lot of people that hunger was a very, you know, big concern because they were going days without eating. So for a lot of these families, yes, this benefit is supposed to be temporary. But when you have kids, and like the councilwoman said, many of these families have, you know, small kids, you have to, you know, sign them up for school. And so when you're thinking about leaving or transitioning out of housing, that becomes a large concern. Where are my kids going to go to school? They're in school here. I don't want to disrupt them anymore. So you want to find housing options nearby to minimize that disruption. So the challenges are pretty much the same, and it's pretty dire.
And Marcella, who is helping them with those challenges? I mean, the councilwoman is describing a situation where 6 months after the storm now, many of these families, you're describing them as well, living in conditions, yeah, that would be okay for a week or two in an emergency, eating packaged food or in some cases no food at all. Who is helping them transition to a regular life or figure out what a regular life can be in a completely new place in the mainland?
Community organizations are playing a big role, and if it weren't for them, I guarantee you, I mean, I don't know what would have been of these families. The state and cities and towns are also intervening, you know, the housing authorities of each city and town. I know that here in Boston, for example, there is a large number of these families already enrolled or signed up in waiting list for public housing because, again, like you can help them transition, but if there is no housing to transition to, it's a puzzle that nobody can really solve. I mean, housing, affordable housing is a challenge here in Massachusetts, period, let alone for just families who are fleeing a hurricane. So what I'm seeing now, what I've been hearing for these community organizations that are on the ground helping these families is that many people just get frustrated and, you know, hit a dead end and say, I'm just leaving. And either they go back to Puerto Rico, or they go to another state where they have another friend or another family member who can host them for a little while longer. So what you're going to see is, you know, this population of displaced families basically moving from place to place if there is no, you know, other program or more permanent slash long-term assistance because they're going to need it and they're still in need of it.
Councilwoman Bermudez, who in your community is helping these families move on from the Red Roof Inn to a more normal life?
The situation in Hartford, you know, as the capital city in Connecticut, is very dire in that while I've mentioned the number of families of the three participating hotels of the families that we know of, there's a host of other families, right, that are staying with people they might know from that, you know, that they have family or relatives with who are also Puerto Rican. In Hartford, and specifically, we've received to date 1,820 individuals. And in our school system, we've seen an influx of enrollment of 500 new students in our public school system. Now, the people who've been really mobilizing and helping to engage these families and connect these families with resources, the group that has done the most immediate work has been the volunteers, and they've been the fastest moving group. But overall, it's piecemeal. We're piecemealing these services that these families need right now. And so really, it's been very challenging in that it's so difficult to try to get all the resources in one-stop shop, right? And with very little to no support from the federal government, specifically I'm referencing FEMA.
Well, Marcella, let me end with you before we have to run here. Marcella, is anyone talking about a permanent solution here? TSA, FEMA, these agencies have warned of another deadline. Money for these hotels isn't going to be around forever. In Hartford, they're trying hard, but it sounds overwhelming with this piecemeal approach that the councilwoman is describing. What's the end game here?
There is talk already of other permanent solutions or more long-term solutions. There are other programs that FEMA, like the Transitional Sheltering Assistance Program, could deploy. And the governor of Puerto Rico has requested FEMA to deploy these other tools that they have. And specifically, I'm talking about a program that's called the Direct Lease Program. And FEMA, what it does is that it pays basically landlords, it pays directly the rent to landlords up to 8 months for eligible victims. And so this is a program that has already been requested, and FEMA has this program available only in Puerto Rico for Puerto Rican victims on the island. But the governor and other agencies have requested FEMA to make it available to people here in the mainland. You know, all these families whose TSA benefit will end eventually, for some of them today, actually. For other people, we will end in May 14, to make this direct lease program available here. And again, it would mean 18 months more of housing. And it's true. I mean, this hurricane has a long, long, long tail, and it's going to be, these families are going to need more than another month or two.
Marcella Garcia, editorial writer with the Boston Globe, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Councilwoman Wildeliz Bermudez of the Hartford City Council, thank you as well.
Thank you.
We reached out for a comment to FEMA's Region 1 office serving states across New England, including the Hartford area. We haven't yet heard back.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.